May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 787. Come, poor sinners, come away in meditation sweet. Let us go to Golgotha and kiss our Saviour's feet. Let us in his wounded side wash till we every whit are clean. That's the fountain opened wide for filthiness and sin. Hymn 787.
May the Lord help us to read from his holy word the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkle both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament, which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and help us to pray. O Lord, do come to our aid now, we beseech thee, for thy name's sake. We come, Lord, into thy house through thy mercy, spared. And Lord, we need thy mercy. Lord, mercy the total sum we ask. We are sinners. We have done that which we ought not to have done, left undone that which we ought to have done. We are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and our iniquities, like the wind, have carried us away. Lord, have mercy. Forgive all our transgressions, we pray. Against thee and thee only have we sinned, done all this evil in thy sight. O Lord, do for thy name's sake visit us, and help us in thy house this evening. We plead the word, "This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them." Lord, thou knowest where there are those here this evening that long to know it. Lord, they that are sick, for the whole need not the physician, but they that are sick, Lord, the sin-sick sinners, covered from head to foot with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have no healing medicines. There is no mollifying ointment, Lord, in all the things of this world and all that is of the flesh. Lord, one only remedy. There is balm in Gilead. There is a kind physician there. Oh, we pray, grant the application. Lord, that the health of the daughter of thy people might be restored. I am the Lord that healeth thee. O Lord, heal us of all our sin. Wash away its guilt. Cleanse us from its power. Where sin abounds, may grace much more abound. Oh, may faith be given. Oh, that precious grace, do, Lord, grant us that saving faith. Faith in the bleeding Lamb. Oh, what a gift it is. When faith is lifted up the highest, she sings of none but thee. Lord, how faith hangs upon thy dying words. It is finished. O Lord, we pray for that faith this evening. We confess with shame, Lord, we don't have it of ourselves. We are unbelievers by nature. Lord, if any of us are not convinced of this, do send thy Spirit in the way thou said and promised. He shall convince of sin because they believe not on me. Oh, we pray, do grant that faith, that repentance, that hope, that love, yea, every grace that thou knowest we so much need. Oh Lord, 'tis sovereign. Thou said, I will be merciful. To whom I will be merciful, I'll be gracious. To whom I will be gracious, Lord, be merciful. Be gracious to us. Lord, free grace. Lord, our only plea. Oh, we pray that thy gospel, the power of God unto salvation, may come to us this evening. Let thy doctrine drop as the rain and thy speech distill as the dew. Oh, come, Lord, we pray. Engage our ears, our hearts. Lord, thou knowest what fickle, helpless creatures of a day we are. And yet, Lord, we've never dying souls. Oh, we pray, save us. Quicken the dead. Establish, strengthen, and settle the living. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Revive thy work. Grant more grace. We plead for this people. Seek thy blessing on them, according to thy will. Oh, may something be done, Lord, in thy great name, to thy honour and glory this evening. May the cases of thy people be touched by thee. Oh, may Christ be lifted up. Dying, perishing sinners, look and live. Oh, may thy people be fed with food that thou seest convenient for them. Lord, oh, we pray then, do pour into a poor empty earthen vessel. Grant him this grace. To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Grant the Holy Spirit's power. The word be conveyed with authority, with unction, with savour. The entrance of thy word, Lord, giveth light. Oh, Lord, cause thy word to enter. How often, Lord, we have to mourn. Seems to go no further than our ears. Lord, we pray for that entrance into our very hearts. Whether it need be, the word to reprove, to wound the heart, That word, Lord, to liberate. That word to heal. That word to pardon. To soften. Lord, be not silent. We pray then for this people. We commend to thee the afflicted. Do help them. According to thy will, Lord, do heal them. Strengthen them. Lord, do bless them in their afflictions. Oh, may they know the fulfillment of that word. By these things men live. In all these things is the life of my spirit. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Lord, do grant such grace. As thou didst give thy servant the apostle, so that he gloried in his infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon him. We pray for our dear friend, that major surgery before him, later in the week, if it is thy will. Oh, do keep him calm, quiet. In looking to thee, in casting all his care upon thee. And Lord, we pray, do bless him. Grant skill and wisdom to the surgeon and all those that shall be involved in this. Oh, we do pray thy blessing. If it may please thee, thou would spare him. Bless the means used for relief, alleviation of the difficulties. Lord, grant healing, restoring mercy if it please thee. Help his dear one and family in this time of great anxiety. May it be sanctified to them. To the church here. We pray for the deacon, Lord, laid aside at this time. We seek thy favour and presence to be granted him now as he is detained. Lord, we pray likewise for healing, restoring mercy if it please thee, and some blessing in it. And Lord, no doubt, there are many other cases. Afflictions, Lord, perhaps have been born many years. Perhaps no one else knows about them. Lord, those sorrows that none enter into. But Lord, thou dost enter into the sorrows of thy people. As we've sung in the hymn this evening. Lord, we pray, grant thy people that realization. In all their affliction he was afflicted. I know their sorrows. Lord, those in deep trial, deep waters, fiery furnaces. Lord, sharp conflicts, deep perplexities. Oh, do help. Lord, sanctify these things to the bringing of us to thy feet and the causing of us to lean upon thee, to look to thee. Oh, favour us, Lord, in these things to see thy hand mercifully, wonderfully on our behalf for deliverance, for sustaining till deliverance come. Lord, we pray, bless thy word in this place, the salvation of sinners, the glory of thy great name, and unto the church such as should be saved. Lord, do help. Bless the labours of the deacons here. Direct, Lord, in all the matters. Provide this people with a living ministry, if it will please thee. A pastor after thine own heart, who shall go in and out among them and feed them with knowledge, with understanding. Lord, raise up such men, we pray, and help those whom thou hast raised up. Grant, Lord, growth in their own soul, growth in grace, and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so there may be a growth in the ministry. Lord, oh, to be made use of by thee to thy people. Lord, to be an ambassador of Christ. Oh, Lord, what a blessed position. Make us so, we pray. May it be so even this night. We pray for a thankful heart, for all thy goodness and mercy to us. It is of thy mercy we are not consumed. Thy patient forbearance, daily provision, protection in our journeys, and Lord, when we're awake and when we're asleep on our beds, Lord, thy eye slumbereth not. Let us keep thy people as the apple of the eye. And Lord, above all, for thy word, the throne of thy grace, the mercy seat, thy unspeakable gift, thy dear Son, his precious blood, his glorious righteousness, every office which he sustains. O Lord, that fullness which is in him, that he is all in all to thy people. Lord, we thank thee for thy Holy Spirit, without whom there's no salvation. His quickening, his reviving, his indicting of prayer, his revelation of the Lord, his convincing of sin. Continue thy mercies. Pardon what one's asked amiss. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1093. How welcome to the tempest tossed, amidst the storm's career, while horror spreads from coast to coast, is some kind haven near. Hymn 1093.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. All those things which Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write of in this chapter and in others, in this same epistle and in other epistles, of the sufferings of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. Why were these things needed? Why are these things so essential? Because of this appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. For God in his infinite love, in his boundless grace, the hymn writer says, for this stupendous love of heaven, oh, he hath appointed that when his people die, he will be a deliverance for their souls. They shall not experience the second death, the eternal death of hell. But how could that be? How can it be? Only through that which this chapter sets forth, and this 28th verse speaks of in particular. As it is appointed, God's appointment. God gives life. He does not give men the choice of whether they live or not. That life is in his hand. In him we live and move and have our very being. There is an appointed moment then when he will take life from everyone. Not a moment before, not a moment after. The hymn writer was given faith to draw comfort from this truth. Plagues and deaths around me fly, but till he bids, I cannot die. Bullets may fly, diseases may come, enemies may seek the death of the Lord's people, but they cannot touch them till the Lord's time comes. I shall not die but live, said the psalmist, and declare the works of the Lord. It is appointed. The time is appointed. But then death itself is appointed. That which brings an end to the natural life, that which will take place, and what will follow is the returning to the dust of the body. Death is an appointment then that is inseparably connected with sin. If there had not been sin, there had not been death. In the day thou eatest thereof, God said to Adam and Eve, thou shalt surely die. It was so spiritually, and then in time it proves so. That entrance of sin, they began to die then. Now as we are descendants of Adam and Eve, we begin to die as soon as we begin to live. Because we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. And what a solemn appointment it is. What a foe is death. Oh, any view of it, any realization at all of it makes even the stoutest heart to tremble. Oh, perhaps even with the wicked, while they were in health, what jollity, what folly, oh, what proud speeches, what boastings. What cursings of the Almighty. What disregard of the Word of God. And yet, even with unbelievers sometimes, what a change. Disease comes upon them. They're laid on a bed. All the trembling. All the terror in their eyes. Where are now those proud speeches? Awful. Awful. Oh, the very fact that death is the end of life, the sufferings that may precede that, and the great solemnity of the end. What a finality there is in death. I don't mean that it is the end of a person, but it is the end of their life. In every other event but a person's funeral, there's a future here on this earth. But the moment life departs, there's no future here on this earth. The time has come when God has said the end. There'll be no more hearing of the gospel sermons. With the Lord's people, there'll be no more need of that, for they will enter into the fullness of it. They will have heard the gospel sufficiently. The work of grace will have been done in them. How quickly the Lord is able to accomplish this is set forth in the case of the thief. I remember a godly old woman in one of the Bethesda homes who lived to be a great age. And the very fact that she was of such a great age troubled her in this respect, thinking of what the hymn writer said, thou shalt see my glory soon when the work of grace is done. Oh, she felt, what a stubborn heart mine must be. What a lot of teaching I must need for the Lord to have lengthened out my life, as it were, this long for the work of grace to be done. For the Lord is a sovereign in it. It is appointed unto men once to die. Only once to die. Oh, there will be no coming back. No second opportunity, as it were, once to die. Oh, how solemn. If we should be brought to that point and to realize, as the foolish virgins did at that very time, they were lacking what was vital. They did not realize then. They did not realize till then. Once to die. But after this, the judgment. So the scripture makes it quite plain that death is not the end. After this, the judgment. God's judgment. We are accountable to God. Mercifully, if we're the Lord's people, He hath required that account of His dear Son. Oh, if we are among that favoured people whom the Father has loved with an everlasting love and given unto His Son. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has settled that account. So in the day of judgment there will not be a demand from us of what is due. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at the bleeding shorty's hand, then again at mine. After this, the judgment. The Word of God makes it clear that as soon as the soul leaves the body, it appears before God. That will be in the case of those who die before the Lord comes again. That will be the day of judgment to them. We believe from the scripture that there will be one day of judgment in the end. But really, the moment of one's death, the day of one's death, is the day of judgment. Then God will either gather that soul, take that soul into His immediate presence in heaven, or banish it to be with the devil and his angels in the place where hope and mercy and a sip of cold water can never come. But what is that judgment? Who is it sits upon that judgment seat? Jesus Christ, God's Son. In the Acts of the Apostles we read, He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. By what? By the law of God? Not directly. Though of course it is involved. By that man whom He hath ordained. And He hath given assurance to all men in this, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Setting forth that the truth on which the people, the whole human race will be judged, is that man, Jesus Christ. The God-man, all proving that He is God in that He raised Him from the dead. And that life, oh, this judgment will be according to whether there be new life. And if there be new life, it is the life of that man. I am, He said, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But after this, the judgment. Oh, God knows those that are His. Sometimes here below, what a desirable thing this is. Surely all the Lord's people desire this. And surely the Church of God desires it, to see it among the congregations. God makes it manifest here below, those who are His. It's said that in heaven, His name should be in their foreheads. Blessed it is when it is so plainly, here below also. That is, in that person's life, in that person's spirit, in that person's conversation, in that person's walk, Jesus is, as it were, engraved on their forehead. The name of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus given them, the faith of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the brokenheartedness, the meekness, the humility, the heavenly mindedness, the spiritual mindedness, which is life and peace. And oh, how blessed it is when Jesus is written in the forehead of a believer here below, when that blessed joy and peace of Jesus Christ is experienced in their soul. But because that does not appear plainly, clearly, in a person here below, it does not mean necessarily that they are not one of the Lord's people. It says that after death is the judgment. It's hidden from man. Oh, how solemn a matter it is to take a funeral. How solemn a matter it is to attend a funeral. You see, the minister isn't the judge. After death, the judgment. A minister, a man of God, may make a mistake. Oh, there have been those instances, haven't there? I believe William Huntington was one of them. And he had a dream. And God spoke to him in that dream. And it was a dream regarding the day of the resurrection. And what surprises William Huntington had in that dream, some of the people he thought were the people of God were not. And some of the people that William Huntington never thought were the people of God were. After death, the judgment. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. It has been observed that sometimes the Lord takes His people, and it's maybe rightly spoken of as them going to sleep, and it is going to sleep in Christ. He does so in the dark. Not all of the Lord's people are blessed with light, manifestly so, at evening time. Oh, most desirable. Yes. Paul desired it, didn't he? That I might finish my course with joy. And if we finish not our course with joy, how desirable it will be to finish our course with peace. The peace which only the blood of Jesus Christ can effect. After this, the judgment. And the judgment will be, in essence, very simple. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the point. That is why I say it is very simple. It's a tremendous matter. It's beyond anything we can attain to of ourselves. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But you know that blessed simple truth, the simplicity that is in Christ, is the only hope of these whom the Lord teaches by his Spirit. Marks of grace I cannot show. Perhaps for years they may have been trying to get together, as it were, a file of evidence to assure themselves that they are the Lord's people. Now, do not mistake me. The Lord does tell his people to gather stones together. Those Ebenezer stones. He tells them that they shall remember all the way which the Lord their God has led them. But the Lord, in bringing his people to the knowledge of this blessed point, that I am in Christ, he brings them to him. Look into that one point. Marks of grace I cannot show. All polluted is my breast. Yet I weary am I now. There may be those here this evening, and you're brought now to that place in your experience, and there seems to be a question mark over everything about your experience. I venture to say this, it's such question marks that bring a person to Christ. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, fly to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Those of you here this evening that perhaps you're brought to question the whole. Oh, don't try. May the Lord keep you from trying to clear this thing and that thing up. Oh, go to Christ as a feelingly deceived sinner. None will perish there. Oh, don't try to get this and that thing cleared and then go to him. You never will. Naked, fly to thee for dress. Lord, if I'm deceived in this, if I'm deceived in that, Lord, I've no other hope tonight. I've no other name. Lord, have mercy on my poor soul. Mercy, Lord, is the total sum. And what is that one that is pleading mercy? What are they seeking for? This one simple matter to be made plain to them. You're in Christ. Accepted in the Beloved. Complete in him. Secure in him, bound up, as Abigail said to David, the soul of my Lord is bound up in a bundle of life with the Lord. But after this, the judgment. Oh, what a merciful judgment the Lord grants his people. How that merciful judgment was set forth in the case of that woman that was taken in adultery in the very act. The scribes and Pharisees brought her to Jesus trying to get him to say something contrary to what Moses said. He didn't say one thing contrary. He could not, because what Moses said was the word of God. And that is what Jesus spake. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone.
And my dear friend, sin is a great leveller. What a mercy if the Lord gives grace to make us realise what sinners we are. If God give us grace to be convinced of our sin, what a leveller. We'll not be able to look at anyone else and say they're a worse sinner than me. Of sinners of whom I'm chief, said the apostle. They, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. And Jesus was left alone and the woman with him. Doth no man condemn thee? No man, Lord. You see, God is the judge. What Jesus showed there in the way he dealt with that woman and those people was that truth that God is the judge, not man. How can a sinner be the judge? He cannot be. Where the Lord gives his spirit to his people, and so he reveals things to them, opens things up to them, he gives them judgment concerning truth. But it is his ministry to them, his ministry in them. I think of what the Lord Jesus set forth in that parable of the man with a mote in his eye, who sought to take out the beam in his brother's eye. And Jesus said, first cast out the mote out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the beam out of thy brother's eye. But how could that man cast out the mote out of his own eye? That is, how can sin be overcome? Because that's the mote in his eye, it's sin. How can sin be overcome? By the Spirit of God giving you faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way of your mote being cast out of your eye. Now, when that is done, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, then you'll see clearly. And how will it be? Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. After this, the judgment, the merciful judgment, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. No contradiction to Moses. Because of that which follows here in this 28th verse, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. It was appointed unto Christ to die. Before all worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed, God's appointment. That was set by God in eternity past, the very day, the very moment when Jesus should yield up his spirit to his Father, having said it is finished. It was fixed in the eternal mind of God. No man took his life from him. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter willingly. He laid down his life. This appointment was not because of his sin. His death was not a necessary consequence of anything in his glorious person. For he is God. And he is man without sin. There was no corruption in him. There was no sin in him. though he needed, he must take the nature of man without sin to be able to die. He was not mortal as we are mortal. And so he must lay down his life, a voluntary sacrifice. No man taketh it from me, I lay it down of myself, under the load of his people's sin, under that imputed sin. All we, says Isaiah, of the church of God, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, Christ, oh, this blessed one, Christ, this fairest one. But when does he become fair? When a poor sinner knows they must die, and Christ is preached to them as the antidote of death, that's when he becomes fair. Christ has no fairness when the world is smiling. Christ has no fairness when you're in health. Christ has no fairness when you're not sick. But oh, to a sick sinner, when they draw near their journey's end, how precious is their heavenly friend. And when in death they bow their head, he's precious on a dying bed. Oh, one only physician, one only antidote of death, one only who can, by blessing a sinner with his presence and his smile, the light of his countenance, sweeten the most bitterest thing, which is death. Oh, those bitter waters of Marah, death. The tree cut down, cast into the waters. I am the Lord that healeth thee. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That unbeliever I mentioned earlier, that has a completely different complexion when death comes. Oh, his sins stare him in the face. But oh, if God solemnly and awfully deny him repentance, deny him faith, he's no Christ. He has no Christ. Oh, nothing but the law, nothing but the devil, nothing but his sins staring him in the face. But to these blessed characters whom the Lord has quickened into life, made to feel to be sin-sick, dying like those Israelites were in the wilderness, because they're such murmurers, because they're such sinners, because they haven't got one stone to throw at those Israelites through the wilderness journey. They can't say, oh, we're not like that, we know better than that. No, they have to say, Lord, what a picture of my own case. Ah, raise upon a pole a serpent of brass, commands the Lord. And it came to pass that everyone that had a serpent bite, when they looked upon that serpent of brass, they lived. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Christ, the one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, the unique person. One name. I've laid help, says the Father, on one that is mighty. Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments and Bozrah? This that's glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. I've trodden the winepress alone and of the people there was none with me. No. No one could go in that winepress with him. Christ was appointed to die alone, to stand alone in the breach, because no one else could go in that breach. All other must be utterly consumed. Oh, my mind goes to those solemn characters in the Acts of the Apostles. The devils that were having such effect on that man. And those false preachers, they said this and they said that. The devil said to them, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are ye? No power against the evil, but this one hath power. All power given unto him in heaven and in earth. So Christ was once offered, one offering. Contrasting to the many offerings of the types and the shadows, the sin offerings, the trespass offerings, the peace offerings, one offering. Not many times. Once every year the high priest in the Levitical dispensation went in to the holy place, but by one offering he is perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, what a great offering this was. The offering speaks of one in another's place. As we read of the Levitical priests, they slew those beasts, burned that flesh on the fire, took that blood and went into the holy place with it to make atonement in their case, because they were sinners, for their own sins and the sins of the people. Why? The clear point being shown by those sacrifices that without death, without the shedding of blood, without the death of the sacrifice in the place of the sinner, God cannot be approached to. God cannot look favorably on any sinner. So Christ was once offered, God's appointed substitutionary sacrifice. Oh, the sufficiency of that sacrifice. For it wasn't the sins of one man he bore, but the sins of many. Who are those many? All whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of that many of whom Christ said to his Father, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. These are the many. There's not one outside that number, but not one missing. They all have the same need, a need of this, for Christ to die in their place. Why is that so needy? Because they must die and come before the judgment seat of Christ. They must give account for their deeds. And what are their deeds? God brings them each to realize, to feel and know that their whole deeds of their life are sin. Their very best deeds are sin. They come short of that glory of God. They come short of that mark. They come short of that standard. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They haven't got the desires. They haven't got the repentance. They haven't got the love. They haven't got the obedience. They haven't got the submission. They haven't got the godliness that is set forth by the holy law of God. Paul says the law is spiritual. That means it's divine. It's high. It's above and beyond anything that poor sinful men and women in the flesh can even touch. They can't come near it. It's not as though they almost get there, but not quite. They're nowhere near it. Nowhere near it. It's not as though they keep some of it, but not all of it. They don't keep any of it. Oh, then, but what does God say concerning all those transgressions? What does his law say? His law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed. Oh, the awful curse of eternal punishment. The awful curse of banishment from God. The awful curse of a worm that never dies. A conscience that is never eased. A flame that never dies out. The awful curse of a place where the rich man lift up his eyes in torment. Nose drop of water to cool his tongue. So Christ was once offered. All this offering is a burnt offering. All the fire of divine justice in which the Son of God was offered, in which he offered himself. That fire, the inviter says, sure he feels a thousand hells. And that was an understatement. Oh, the death of Christ, my dear friend, is completely beyond our comprehension. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood. 'Tis to God and God alone that those sufferings are fully known. Oh, that fire. See, here is anguish in Gethsemane. The blood squeezed from his skin, dropping as great drops to the ground. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What cup? The cup of divine wrath. The cup that Jesus is taking according to the Father's command. The cup that the Lord Almighty God has appointed his Son should drink. If it be possible, I believe what he meant there, if I may venture this, if it be possible, while still my church redeemed, if it be possible that my work be completed without this cup, but of course it wasn't possible. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So Christ was once offered. That, I come back to that single, simple point. And here it is. So Christ was once offered. Not something else with this. Not your good deeds, sinner. Not your desires. Not your repentance. Not your own faith. Not your church membership. Not all your kindness to other people. No, so Christ was once offered. Oh, what a blessed truth this is for the Lord's people. Who are taught, have nothing else to plead. A vile, ungrateful monster I have been. I cannot promise future good to bring, but plead the blood that was for sinners shed, that did for sin atone. So Christ was once offered, that burnt offering then, on the cross. Oh, his cries in that fire give some indication of the heat of those flames. Above all, that tremendous cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why?" Oh, the grace of God. Oh, the love of the Father, the love of the Spirit, the love of the Son of God, the grace of Jesus Christ. That this offering should be made. It's beyond words to describe the stupendousness of this. Because who is it that is being offered? It's the perfect man, the God-man, the man who never had a sinful thought, the man whom the graciously affected thief said, "This man has done nothing amiss." Once offered. Oh, sinner, did you ever have a glimpse of this one? Spotless, innocent and pure, the great Redeemer stood. Oh, his obedience unto death, his perfect suffering, his perfect offering. What grace was this? For love of whom? A rebel race, a hardened herd that mocked and trampled on his blood. Oh, those here this evening and you feel that's you. I've mocked and trampled on his blood. I've spoken of his blood in a way that wasn't right. You fear you've done despite to the Spirit of grace, perhaps. But if you're troubled, if it's a burden to you, if this is a grief to you, if this is a guilt, if this is a stain, you must have washed away. And you plead for it. You haven't done despite to the Spirit of grace. So Christ was once offered. But it was that death. He cried out, "It is finished. It is finished. Sin finished. Death finished." The ceremonial law finished. Finished all the types and shadows. An end of sin made. Oh, he had suffered sufficiently. And now in laying down his life, there is the full atonement. The death of Christ should still remain sufficient and alone. Finished. The whole work from beginning to end. So Christ was once offered. Oh, sinner, I repeat what I said just now. This is the believing view that the Lord brings his people to in their measure, that sets them free from their guilt. But what can poor lost sinners do? When once they get a view and hear the Blessed Spirit say, "All this was done for you. Why me? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell and not salvation free?" And what does the Spirit show that sinner? That it's only that death of Christ. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That offering in that shedding of blood. Offered. He offers himself. Oh, that blood, that ransom price. To bear the sins of many. To bear them and bear them away. Oh, the load that he bore. But oh, he prevailed. The load he bore brought him down to the grave. But the way he went to the grave meant he left those sins there. Rising victorious over that grave, the sins of his elect put away. The text speaks of him appearing the second time without sin. The first time he appeared with sin, with the sins of his people. But he is free of that load through his sufferings. He is free of that load through his death without sin. Offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now this speaks of the special work of the Spirit in those whose sins he bore. It's as though, and I believe it is so. This is why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write in this way. As people read this, he bore the sins of many, but did he bear my sins? So Paul goes on to say, and unto them that look for him. Yes, they look for him because they are blessed with faith in him, that they believe that he is. And what a wondrous thing that is. Most of us here were brought up to come under the sound of truth. We are brought up to hear the name of Jesus and the gospel preached. But my dear friend, can you look back to the time when you began to believe in Jesus? Solemn if you can't. You'll not get to heaven. You'll not be clear in the day of judgment through merely hearing about him. Many will come to him in that day of judgment and say, "That's taught in our streets. That's been preached in our chapels." And the Lord will say, "I never knew you." No, but these that are blessed with this faith in him. Oh, a believing view of Jesus. A friend. Ah. Oh. Did you ever see you have a friend at the right hand of God in heaven? An advocate? A counselor? An high priest? One who's entered there with his own blood? There who intercedes there? Oh, that blood that speaks in that high court unto them that look for him. These that look for him, then they believe on him. The Spirit has shown them who he is. They have looked for him here below. Oh, why have they looked for him? They've heard of him and they want to see him. Why do they look for him? They've heard of him and they want him to appear unto them. They look for him. Because they've got a trouble that none but he can heal. They look for him because they've got sins that none but he can pardon. They look for him because they've got an unbelief that can't be conquered by anything less than him appearing. To them that look for him shall he appear. They were looking then. They are looking for his appearing to the eye of faith. Yes, oh, they can't make him appear. They can't make him appear merely by reading the Word of God. They read the Word of God when they're exercised by the Spirit, looking for him to appear there through the lattice of the Word. They go up to hear the gospel preached. They're not looking for this minister or that minister. They're looking for him. And when he is seen, the minister fades into insignificance, and that's what I desire. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Why not? My dear friend, I couldn't preach myself to you. What a miserable sermon it would be. But oh, if the Lord enabled me to preach Christ to you. Oh, That will do if you hear by the hearing of faith. That will do when you come to die. What can a minister do for you when you're gasping your last breath? Nothing. That minister may have nurtured you. Oh, but if he hasn't by the Spirit preached Christ to you, he's been of no use at all. But oh, what can Christ do for a poor sinner who's gasping their last breath? Oh, he can hold them up. He can by his presence take away all that sting. He can by the word of his mouth take every thorn out of that pillow. He can by those everlasting arms beneath that sinner hold them up. He can by the application of that blood cause them to pass through that last river death on dry land. Fear not, brother, said the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. I can feel the bottom. I can feel the bottom, and it is good. There's only one bottom of death, and that's Christ. Unto them that look for him, them that look for him. Oh, they look for him as the one looks out for the morning. Think of the psalm. As the eyes of a maid look unto her mistress, and the eyes of a servant unto his Lord, so our eyes wait upon thee till thou have mercy to them that look for him. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? Now what a prospect, the second coming of Christ. Oh, what makes that second coming so attractive? The Spirit's witness, you've got an interest in his first coming. Oh, if the Spirit witnessed with your spirit, he came and died for you. Oh, you'll look for his second coming. Why? Because that's the consummation of everything he set forth before you and gave you the earnest of when you saw him by faith. It was eternal life, wasn't it? It was sinlessness. And you won't have sinlessness until he comes a second time. And what is it that, as it were, exercises the believer? What is it that stirs up in the believer here below? This looking for him. The afflictions he lays on them, the troubles, the tribulations. Oh, you may hear this evening, child of God, be in the depths of trouble. Is it being sanctified? We've no abiding city here. This may distress the worldling's heart, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. What a prospect. You must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. Without the tribulation, you don't want to enter the kingdom. What a mercy then if the Lord lays on you, child of God, and he will. You won't escape this. They must through much tribulation. What a mercy then if he lays on you one thing after another. All to make you sick of self, sick of this world, sick of sin. I think of what dear Rutherford said. He said, Anwath isn't heaven. There's trouble in Anwath. He said, preaching isn't Christ. There's sin in my preaching. No. Heaven is heaven. The heaven of loving Christ alone. The heaven of loving him from an unsinning heart. This much and this is all we know. They are completely blessed. Have done with sin, with toil, with woe. With their Saviour rest, to them that look for him. The Lord spoke in his own ministry of this looking for him, didn't he? He said, Watch therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are coming on the earth, and to stand before the Son of Man, unto them that look for him. Sometimes a believer catches a sound by living faith of his chariot wheels. And the effect of that is their soul goes after him. Their soul saith unto him, Lord, we hear thy chariot wheels and say, triumphant God appear. Come and free my poor soul from all this bondage, this sin that does so easily beset me. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. They shall recognize him, for he will recognize them. Well, may the Lord bless to us his word. May it abide with us. May we feed upon it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pack will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 1000. Ye tempted and tried, to Jesus draw nigh. He suffered and died your wants to supply. Trust him for salvation. You need not to grieve, there's no condemnation to them that believe. Hymn number 1000.
Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy word, for the hope of thy gospel, for the word of thy grace. Do bless it to us, favour us with meditation upon it. Lord, don't let Satan, those other foxes take from us thy word. Keep us as we separate. Forgive what has been amiss. Abide with us. And now, brethren, I commend you to God under the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you each. Amen.